Wow, right? Like, okay, I like the Styles part. Like, don't get caught up in the fact that I'm high energy. But you're gonna get caught up in the fact that I'm high energy, and I don't want you to get caught up in that. It's just how I've been put together. So, yeah, and wow, what a great heart your pastor has here. Amen? You think about the heart of a man, and it's wonderful. Not that we're doing accolades here, but it is good, right? I mean, this is a guy, this is the father of the house that's welcoming Dr. Nichols and this ministry team into this place to release something to you. Amen? And like Pastor Dave had said, he says that we're going to uncover these little pieces. It's like you've got a big puzzle in front of you right now. You've been putting together over the years. And it's like a 1,000-piece puzzle. And you've got some parts of it are put together very well. But you're missing some pieces, right? There's just some of it you're kind of like, I don't fully understand why behind this. I don't know what color it is, but I know it should smell like this. Or when we're putting together these little pieces that we can make a clearer picture of who he is. Yeah, right. And what he wants to do, because what he wants to do is to get us a fire for him so that we would release glory unto the Father. One of the key little things, right? Check this out. So, you know, we ask God, we pray to him, we ask him for things, right? But why? And I was like, well, because you told us to. I'm searching, like, why do you want me to answer that prayer? And this was a key for me. It's so that I will get the glory, Pete. I want to release the glory from my people's mouth so that it rises up into heaven for me. God loves when he is glorified. Amen? I just love it. It's beautiful. Look, I would say I'm like you. I am a born-again believer. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit as a young man, probably 35 years ago. But you see, I had no discipleship. I came to Christ through a fire and brimstone, Pentecostal, small church, probably this big. I'm not even kidding you. Like, and I sat in the back, and they knew when I came in. They were like, oh, the new guy's here. So, what are you going to do, brother? You know, when the three-axle metro job takes you out and you die, where are you going to go? Where are you going to spend the rest of eternity? That was a big question for me. I came out of a Catholic background, Christmas and Easter, so we went to church 2 times a year. And it was never enough. So, you know what? The other thing, I didn't understand that Jesus Christ died for my sins. Nobody told me that. And like, I know that I missed like half of the catechism thing because I was off with my sister running around, you know, cutting church because my parents would just drop me off. And then, hey, as long as you came back with a little something that says that you were there, there were no questions, you know. They weren't going to ask me what we learned tonight, right? So when it came down to, you know, what do you call it when you do the thing? It's like what is it?
Confirmation.
When you get through that, like you have to like recite a prayer. I didn't know what it was. It was a Mary thing. I didn't, you know, I think God had his hand on me even then. He was like, you're not going to memorize that right now. You're going to stay away from that. But God started to move in my life, and I want you to know that this has been it's been a long journey for me. I came out of an IT world. I came out of a world, and that's on the business side. On the family side, I came out of a marriage that I had destroyed. My wife and I are back together, and we've been married now for 33 years. Yeah, so, you know, yeah, hallelujah, right? Like, God does impossible things. That's what he does. He does impossible things. So anyway, I want to talk a little bit about authority. I want to talk a little bit about what I've been learning. See, I think that maybe you have a misconception that I know what Dr. Nichols knows. I do not. I'm really on Doc's coattails, but he's been gracious and he has brought me into his ministry, and we've worked together now, like Doc had said, for 5 years, and so we're doing that work. And Pastor Lloyd and I just got back from Africa in October, and we saw some things, and there were some powerful things that God did and that he would show you if you went, just like he showed me because I went, right? God is very interested in teaching you and showing you who you are and what he has. That's his goal. He wants to be magnified in your life so that you tell other people about that magnification. But if you don't spend any time here, if you don't spend time here, you're not going to get it. It won't come to you through osmosis. It won't come to you just hanging around the right people. It won't help you. I mean, you can go to church every Sunday, but if you're not in the Word and if you don't know what it says, you're pretty much helpless because you're not carrying any power in order to move through what God is asking you to move through. So it's a unique situation that you guys have here with us. Coming back from Africa, one of the things that maybe you don't know is, you know, about what Pastor Lloyd was saying about getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. You need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost, I want to tell you that we can do that today before you go. And maybe you came here because I want to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, but nobody's ever given me the opportunity. I didn't know that I could ask anybody for that. But it's just a laying on of hands, and then you can get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that quickens even more revelation that's coming to you, like Lloyd was saying, about your spirit man. The spirit man is in there. It contains everything, but it's the gates, your ear gates and your eye gates, that are bringing information into your brain that your brain is processing, and it's not this. It's not, you're not learning about the authority that you have over your own body, much less about over your own home, over your children, that you have authority, and it's proper authority. One of the things we talk about is power and authority. There's it's a tandem thing. Otherwise, you're just a criminal. Did I just say that? Yeah, I think I did, because if you try to get something done with just a gun, that makes you a robber. You're throwing around power that you don't have authority to do, and you're not going to get anything done that way. If you just have authority, you can get walked on if you don't have a gun. So the gun and the badge and the gun, they go together. Being a judge in a country where there's uprisings, right? And a judge can actually walk out onto the stream and out onto the street, and he can confront officers and say, "Stop doing what you're doing. I have authority to tell you to stop. You will stop. You will cease and desist." He has the authority to do that because that authority has been given to him. Doc has authority that's been given to him. Lloyd has authority that's been given to him. Joanne has authority that's been given to her. You have authority. You have authority. We all have authority. And we need to start commanding that kind of authority even over our own bodies. So I want to tell you this. On our way to Africa, I didn't even know if I should go because I had this knee problem. No trauma to this knee at all, but it started hurting so bad that I couldn't bend it. I couldn't, you know, stairs and everything. It was just pain all the time, pain. And I was just thinking, man, maybe I should tell Doc that, you know, I just don't know if I can go, if we can pull this thing off. Well, I didn't tell him. I kept it to myself, but I thought this. I thought, you know what? I'm going to take authority over the pain that's in my knee. Because there hasn't been any trauma. It's not like I got hit by a truck. It's not like somebody took a bat to my knee It's not that I twisted it, that there was pain in my knee. And I thought, man, I'm going to start praying over the pain in my knee. Well, the pain was still there when we got off the plane in Tanzania. And that pain was still there when we were assigned our first room assignments at our hotel, which was on the fourth floor. And there was no elevator. And in the next hotel that we went to, on the third floor, and there is no elevator. And on the next hotel that we went to, fourth floor, and there is no elevator. But as I started to climb those stairs, I started to tell my body and to tell my knee, look, pain, you're going to go. You don't have authority here. You cannot come in here and wreck what I am doing. Now that took, I bet, 2 months. Now that pain is gone now, right? I can move, okay? So I'm just telling you that when you get pain in your body, you can command the pain to go. It has to listen to you because of who you are. Amen? So Lloyd talked a lot about the what. And what is happening in the when people come in, right? Like he can speak over people. He has a process that he has worked through over a number of years. You can see the writings and the things that he studied them out. They weren't just given to him. And like Pastor Carlson said about the idea, like, you know, it wasn't just, you know, dropped on him, but he had to carve this out with the Lord. Amen? That's what part of ministry is doing. It's carving out things. And when Doc invited me to come, I was like, oh, gee, what? Because I thought to myself, I'm like, you know, Doc, you've been in this thing forever since, you know, his mom was taking him to church before he was out of the womb. You know, and then, you know, he's got a degree, he's got his doctorate, and Pastor Lloyd, he's a pastor of a church, and he has a ministry delivering, right? A deliverance ministry, a DM. I thought that used to mean district manager, but I guess it's deliverance ministry. But anyway. And then, you know, yeah, why don't you come? And I was like, yeah, great. Like, what am I going to talk about, Lord? Because, like, where do I line up in all of this? And then the Lord started to encourage me. Amen? So the Lord wants to encourage you, and he wants to show you things. This stuff is, we're not pulling it out of heaven. It's not like this super special revelation that you're going to get, right? It's studying. It's getting into the Word. It's listening to other people that are in it and doing it. Who's your guy? If I asked you who your guy was, what would you tell me? Outside of coming to church here on Sunday, who's your guy? Who do you listen to? Who do you read?
Who do I read? Just the Bible.
Just the Bible. How about you? You got a guy? The Bible only? You?
Paul Cox.
Okay. You seemed hesitant on that.
No, there's several.
There's several, right? Okay. You got to have a guy. Fortunately, I work with a guy. But there are other people that I listen to, and I've stopped listening to other things. I started to turn off things. One of the things that I have right here, you probably have one of these. You know, you can order airline tickets with one of these. And you can look at restaurant menus with these. And you can go to salacious websites with these. And you can gossip with one of these. You can tear a man down with one of these. You can build a man up with them. But also, do you know you can put your Bible on here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't. Stop doing this. Move away from the digital word. And I'm going to tell you one reason why. Because this right here is a legacy. This right here contains information that when my sons and daughters turn to it and open it up, they're going to have an in-depth look at where the Lord was taking me and where he brought me. My phone cannot do that. You can look at my search history, maybe. But this phone is going to be outdated and gone in about another 180 days. And I'm probably going to get a new phone, right? Because we all know what the deal is, right? All right. So I'm just telling you what I know. You have to shut out certain things and make room for others. That's the first thing. Turning off the things that are entering in through your eye gates and your ear gates. Like, I don't know, did y'all hear about the tornadoes down south? If you heard about tornadoes down south, raise your hand. Okay, so maybe about half, right? Deadly. These were deadly. And I had no clue. I don't watch the news. I'm sorry. I don't know who's telling me the truth anymore. I don't know. So you know what? I'm just not going to. If I'm misinformed, it's okay. I'm misinformed. But I'm not going to be misinformed about this. Because this is critical. Amen? All right. So demons and demoniacs. Man alive. It's like, where do you just like pull it up and start going in, diving in, going deep, right? The whole idea about what we're trying to do is to move in into deeper places. And as Pastor Carlson had said earlier before we came in here, we are being set up for such a time as this. That the power of God is growing stronger and stronger. And that the power of the devil is becoming weaker and weaker. He cannot outshine or outdo what God has set forth to do. Period. So don't start letting that lie come into your ears that, oh, you know, the devil. How many know that he's a sly one? And he's got power and look, he doesn't have power over you. He might have power in the things of this world. He may have power inside of political organizations. He may even have power in some kinds of churches, but he doesn't have power over you because of who you are and where you have parked your car, which is basically in God's garage. Amen. Amen? That's where you park. That's where you live. That's where we are, all right? Does everybody know that demons are spiritual beings? Okay, good. They are against God, right? All right. They have certain powers over men. They recognize the Lord as the Son of God. Everywhere that the devil shows up or a demon shows up, it has to submit. It doesn't have the option to not. Although we did hear Pastor Lloyd talk about, hey, well, we've been told to stay here. Well, okay. But you still have to leave because I'm higher than you. I am seated up here with him. So maybe this is a nugget. Maybe this is something that you can use. But just imagine if my head was severed and it was sitting over there. What can my hands do? Not much. That's exactly right. Not much. But you are the body unto the head, who is Christ, seated in heaven, right? So the body can't go anywhere that the head's not going, and the head doesn't go anywhere that the body doesn't go. Amen? So positionally speaking, where you stand is higher than all the other things that have been created because of Jesus. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're down here. And you are susceptible to all these things. Unclean spirits, fallen angels, principalities and powers, things that we have to wrestle against. I was asking my daughter, I said, what's the name of that thing in Ghostbusters? And they got the backpack thing and they got the gun. What? Does anybody know? It's a plasma ray thing, right? And they all three shoot at it and they capture it and it goes, right? That we don't have that. It's like, you don't get to like go down to bookstore, ChristianBookstores.com and order a plasma gun so that you can cast down imaginations and so that you can take out principalities and powers, right? You know how we do that is with our words. We have been given a select choice number of words that give us power when we speak them that they have to obey. It's not even so much about a power as it is about an authority. that's been given to us because of who we are. And you can share that with people. Demons are fallen angels, divinely created. They are supernatural. They are under the leadership of Lucifer. They have rebelled against God. They are also, demonology is the study of demons, which we did not go into today, but that is a whole nother area. Demonology, the study of demons. Like, for example, Leviathan, right? The Python spirit, right? These kind of different things. Ashtaroth. These spirits and demons have names and they have characteristics. Amen? Yeah, that's what it says right here. Demons may have personal names, which sometimes are strange or foreign in sound. Ashtaroth. And Ashtaroth is the male name of a female spirit. The male name of a female spirit. What does that sound like? Gender identity, right? Why is that so prevalent today? Like, it's really probably in the last 20 years. I mean, it's just like, right up in you. How demons operate? Basically, demons, they operate according to the pattern set by Satan in his threefold approach, which is this: they deny the truth with the word of God, and they challenge the statements of God. So when Pastor Lloyd was talking about when thoughts come in, what kind of thoughts are coming in, and do you challenge those thoughts when you wait? So when a thought comes in, do you challenge it and say, hey, does that really line up with Scripture? Like, we become lazy in how we are approaching, how we're walking through life. We have to start making room, setting things aside, and start looking at what it is. What are you being told right now by the enemy? And what have you believed? What have you come into an agreement with? And what have you stepped back from and say, well, I'm just not going to walk over there. Amen? All right. Two, they deny the reality of death. Typically, they substitute something like reincarnation. You're not going to die. You know, you're going to be reinvented. You're going to be brought into the world as a butterfly or a worm or whatever. You know what I mean? Okay, so there's that. And then number three, they appeal to human vanity and pride by telling men and women that they can become like God or to become gods. These are also the basic methods of teaching and underlying most cults and false religions operate this way. But that they can become like God or become gods. And one of the things is, like, right now, we are being told by governments that they have figured out algorithms and different chemical things that can come in and make us live longer. Right? They've come in to tell us that we can have something that we don't or shouldn't have. Hormone replacements, right? These kind of things that are starting to work their way into children's elementary schools, right? It's all a setup. Everything is being set up right now to take down God as the head and Christ as his son and redemptive savior. To tear that down. All right. Demons work by lying, they're deceitful, and they oppress. Remember what Lloyd said about being possessed versus being oppressed. One of the things that Doc shares, and are you going to share that tonight? Okay, then I'm going to save that. Cool. Nugget. Put that right over there. All right. Demons can also enter bodies of animals, in the case of the swine in Mark 5:13. Demons are associated with books of magic. Okay. Harry Potter fans. We have any Harry Potter fans in here? We have any closet Harry Potter fans? 25 years ago, Harry Potter was released. It is an international best-selling book. Maybe one could argue of all time, outside of really the Word of God, right? But I'm just saying that. So this gets introduced into the culture. It comes into culture in the same way that Disney came into the culture. It's good magic against bad magic. It's demonic, is what it is. And it's laying a foundation for our children. And those things are setting themselves up in our children's minds. And they haven't been brought down yet. Because they don't know how to bring it down. Because their parents don't take them to church. Their parents don't want to pressure them. I have a very good friend. His teenagers don't come to church with him. And I'm like, what's the deal? Like, why aren't you requiring your children to come to church? They live in your house. You've been given authority over your children. And they're calling the shots as to whether or not they're going to go to church or not. That's not right, people. We need to correct that. And you can only correct it in your house. You can't correct it in the house of another man. I can bring this up to my friend and I could say, hey, Joey, because that's not his name. To say, hey, Joey, like, why aren't you bringing your kids to church? You know, well, you know, they don't really want to come or whatever. I don't even know what the excuse is. But this is what I'm betting it is. I don't want the altercation. You know, right now I kind of have a peace in my life. And, you know, if I have to start every Sunday with like, okay, rah, rah, you got everybody in the car, rah, 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 and I don't want to go. And it's all the argument. I don't want that. So I push it aside. Now I'm setting my children up for failure. Right? Authority. You have authority in your house. Exercise it. Start reading about authority in the Word. Amen? All right, let's keep moving here. Idols. I know, right? Necklaces, you know, things that were great grandmas. I have this ring. I was just reminded of it when Lloyd was talking. And what it is, it's a ring from my great-grandfather that my great-grandmother gave to me. And it's a snake eating a snake. It's a, you know how that, like that image of the tail going into the snake's mouth? Have you seen that? You've seen an image of it before, right? Like, I don't know what that thing is. But, like, it's sitting in my house. And I was just reminded as Lloyd was talking, like, you know what? We need to take that down to the jewelry store and get some cash for it. You know what I mean? Because, like, it's got an emerald and it's got a diamond for the eyes, you know? And it's like, it's just creepy. It's like, I can't wear this. But it belonged to Grandpa. No, you know what? Get rid of that thing. You get around it and you start to get creepy about something. If something in your house that makes you feel creepy, do you have a picture in your house that makes you feel creepy? Are there things in your life that you're like, you walk in and you go, there's that picture of Grandma, didn't like her. Or whatever it was, you know, that you have in your house, right? And it just makes you feel like, eh. Get rid of that. Why is that affecting the way you feel? Why is that coming into your spirit? Amen? All right. Anyway, enough about Grandma. Hallelujah. All right, fetishes, amulets. Demons often cause illnesses or physical disability, and that's really been kind of the big thing that we've been talking about here, right? The physical disability. The fact that COVID has come in and it has grabbed a hold of the world, and it did it in about 48 hours. Right? You just think about that. That's never happened before, ever. There's been pandemics, there's been illnesses and diseases, but it's never shut down the whole world. Why? It's just a question. But to start asking that question to everybody that you have, hey, did you ever think about this? It's never happened before. What do you think's going on there? Give me some kind of a big scientific as to why you think that that's happening. But I'm thinking that there's something spiritual attached to it. It has come in to take control of things, and that we want to take control over that in our own houses. Look, in my house, COVID doesn't exist. Look, you can say you have COVID, because my son had COVID, and he was in my house, but he didn't suffer any of the effects of COVID. And you know what? Here's the other thought that I had about that whole thing I was sharing, Doc. If I have an excuse to stay home from 10 days and not have to go to work because I have COVID, I might have COVID. Because I can stay home, right? It's given me an excuse to stay home, right? Like, I'm going to collect the money that's going to come from that, right? Where does all this get paid for? What's the question there? Why is that? Why is it all tied to that, right? Weird. Spirits of infirmity. We talked about that. The attack on the mind and the emotions. I want you to think about this. Mental illness, depression, and suicidal thoughts. Are you kidding me? We are a nation of medicated people that don't need to be medicated, right? If we can just get into here and get into the Word of God and find out what the truth is and what God's Word says, who we are, we don't have to be bound by those things. There are obviously some kind of precautions, I would suppose. But when you talk to camp counselors who are taking care of 10 and 12-year-olds and they're sent to camp with a baggie full of pills, we have a problem, right? I don't think we were sent to camp with a baggie full of pills, but our kids are being sent to camp with a baggie full of pills. So something has come in to control the mind, and to have authority over the mind by controlling the emotions, right? But the only thing that can break it is being born again. Because once you get born again, you become a new creature. And with that new creature comes new DNA, comes new thought processes, comes new restoration things that happen in the body. It's the old is gone. There's a new thing that has come. Amen? I'm not telling you something that you don't know. But we're covering a lot of ground here, okay? You need to remind yourself of these truths that are written in here. Amen? All right. Mental illnesses, epilepsy, paranoia being the work of the spirit of fear. How many of you fear? No, really. If you have a legitimate fear about something, you have a fear. Maybe you have a fear of your kids aren't going to come to Jesus. Maybe you got a fear that you're going to lose your job. Maybe you got a fear that your husband's going to leave you, or your wife's going to leave you, your kids are going to leave you. Maybe you've got some kind of a fear that says you're going to get in a car accident today. Maybe you got fear that you can't go somewhere. And then you think about all the phobias. That's all phobias, fears. Why do we have all this fear? Where is fear coming from? And is it possible to live without fear? To just cast it out. To remove it from our lives, to give us a freedom in our minds so that we can move forward, right? Because of who we are. It's like the church shouldn't just be sitting back wondering what to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, sister. Legion. Oh, my word, right? Hey, I didn't get this. In the time of Augustus, a Roman legion consisted of 6,000 foot soldiers. Is that true? Accompanied by an equal number of auxiliary troops. When someone says legion, right? Like, that's just huge. That's six times bigger than I thought it was. Okay, I'll leave it there. All right, demonization. We talked a little bit about how those kind of things enter into life. They can come in through traumas, childhood traumas. They can come in through fear, which we just talked about. That can come in. Demonization comes in that way, starts to increase over periods of time, right? Becoming more and more afraid because I'm reading more about it. I'm studying about this fear thing, and now I'm going to go to a psychologist, and then he's going to start to try to talk me into a, right? Like, there's a path that's being created for you when you step outside of the will of God. And you don't want to be down that path. Are there Christian counselors? Amen, there are, right? Yes. Did you guys know that Creflo Dollar was a psychiatrist before he went into ministry? Yeah, he was. And the Lord showed him all kinds of stuff. He had all kinds of success. And guess what? He was asked to leave. Because it's an extension of what? Pharma. You know what? I think we need to put you... You know how many people I talk... Okay. Back up for just a second. So I did homeless ministry for 10 years out on the streets of St. Paul, Minneapolis. It's where the Lord brought me into. That was one of the first things that I was set off to do. Homeless people aren't homeless by design. Homeless people don't choose to be homeless. People that are homeless fall through a series of gates and holes and slats, and they end up down here on the bottom. They burn the bridges of their family, their mom and dad. They burn the family of their brothers and sisters. They burn their aunts and uncles. They burn their cousins. They end up broken and in the place that takes them years to get into. Now, with all of that, now you start bringing them into the psychiatry side of things, start bringing them into bipolar and schizophrenia, right? And then you start to medicate them. And what the medication is doing is holding back the manifestation of the body so that the body can't go out like this. The medication keeps it at bay. People need freedom. And they need to walk in freedom. But as Pastor Lloyd was talking about, the will, right? I don't want what you have. Don't come up in here handing me a Bible and a sandwich and telling me that life's going to be okay. Right? Hi. I'm not pointing. That's it. No, she never did that to me. But I'm just saying. But that was the experience that homeless people had out on the street with church people. Right? Well, I don't know if I'm going to give them $20 because I think they're going to smoke marijuana and they're going to buy alcohol. Look, let me tell you something about obedience. Is if the Lord says give them $20, you do it. Yeah. Doesn't matter what they use it for. Yeah. They will determine in their own mind, right? Yeah. But if the Lord's encouraging you and it's the Lord that's saying to do it, then do it. Amen. Freedom, right? That's an alms, giving an alms. What do alms do? I'm getting sidetracked. You see how fast I went down in that rabbit hole? I did, but alms are this. Look, if I give you $20 to help you out, the Lord's going to give it back to me. Yeah. $20, not $21. There's no interest with it. He just gives me what I put in, he gives me back. That's what alms do. Okay, that's free. That might be a little piece for somebody over there. Like, I found that. Found the piece to that 1,000-piece puzzle. Like, where is it? Alms, giving. All right. When we go through the Word of God, this was interesting to me. You know, I spent almost 2 weeks, like, grinding through all this stuff because Doc was like, hey, we're going to Josiah Center, and you're coming with me. Okay. I can't just show up with nothing, right? But manifestation. So often demons prefer to hide rather than to make their presence known, for they can exercise control without any hindrance. That's so true. What we found, one of my first experiences was in Tanzania. We were at Bishop Eugene, who's now Dr. Eugene, but we were at his church, and you know, we're having the cell, yeah, you know, hey. And it's big church, like there's like 300 people in there, and they're all dressed to the nines, and they're like, hey, because church is a big deal in Africa. So people come forward to get prayed over, right? But as you lay hands on them, boom, a manifestation comes, wham, right down to the ground, twisting and turning, writhing, the facial expressions, right? Joanne, you know. Yeah, it's all certain. Look. She's in a dress. She came to church. She came. I watched her come from the back of the church. She came forward. And the Lord said, I want you to lay hands on her. Lay hands. Okay. In Jesus' name. Just be boom. Down she went. Bam. Boy, and then it was like, whoa, demon, recognize it, right? You see it. Don't pick a fight, but I like was over the top of this gal. And I, not like over, like to the side, right? But I'm saying to this demon, you remember when you put him in the ground and he rose again. I just want you to remember that. You thought that you took him out and God raised him up. And I represent that God. You will go, get out, flee, right? So she gets up. And I'm like, hey, hey. You know, I'm thinking to myself, that's saying it out loud. I'm like, wow. Like, hallelujah. That's authority, right? So we're going, we're still going. The Lord says, touch her again. Okay. So I come back over, pray over. Boom, bam. Down she goes again. And now she's like, it's full blown. Boom. People come, pick her up, take her, move her to the back of the church, and they're praying over her. While all this is, hey, it's still Sunday morning. They're like dancing, and they're singing, they're doing their thing. This is not a big deal in African churches. When these things go on, it's like, oh yeah, it's like your kid's crying. Hey, take them out, okay. It's amazing, right?